Vamos un momento. Good morning. I hope you all enjoyed the barbecue yesterday. I did. Pardon? Okay, fine. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, the first talk in the morning. Goodbye, SWAT. Welcome, Cockpit. A view on how to improve Samba user experience by Alexander Bokovoy. Yeah, have much fun.
Yeah.
Stupid. I looked at him and I heard a voice and I thought, how can he talk without talking?
How do you're like it? A seat in between two Alexanders.
Yeah. What's the term in English? Bauchredner? Does anybody know? As stomach talker? Aha. Sure? Okay.
Yeah.
You can Google it, of course, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sorry for your time. Have much fun.
Thank you. I'll try not to laugh myself because this equipment seems to be as unstable as my code that I want to show you. So there's a note. So this talk represents a research that I would like to discuss and show that with simple changes we could do something better for all kinds of our users. And the goal is to actually have a discussion rather than expect that it is all that you can use in production by this afternoon. Or maybe in a month or so. So I'm a long time, I can now say I'm a long time Samba team member. So it's 15 years this year, which is sort of interesting experience. I work at Red Hat mostly on the identity management and interoperability with, well, different environments. So FreeIP, Samba, and I have to do a lot of stuff for the interoperability with Windows, but bringing Windows users to what we call legacy systems, the ones that cannot use contemporary software, like old proprietary Unix systems or old Red Hat releases that cannot really be updated because they already passed certain deadlines. And I start with past. And this is a well-known Samba administration tool, which was retired in version 4.1, which happened not that far in past, right? It was 2012 or so. And the reason why we retired it is because it was not just for LULs, it was constant source of CVEs for Samba. We are a team of largely C-level programmers. We know that programming is hard no matter which area it is. We are not stellar web programmers, so we actually approve that it is hard to program for web. So we removed it, and the SWOT itself was just a tool for editing smb.conf. But as you can see from this screenshot, it also was a browser for our documentation. And that's an interesting thing, because some of the intents that we have, they are not expressed in the software, they're expressed in the documentation. It used to be that you have to read the whole documentation, and the t-shirt for this conference actually reinforces that on the back, Man Samba. If you read the documentation, you can become really a superman. So our hidden kryptonite is the documentation. But it's not enough today just to have documentation, because people change it. And we tried to help them with our lousy web software. We stopped doing that, but the complexity is still there. So how complex is to manage Samba? Well, the first, we have, even on the server side, we have like huge amount of roles, and these roles are like, they have pretty different configuration. So Andrew tried to have some automatic switches in SMB.com. So server role, for example, allows you to say that you want to be a primary domain controller, and that reconfigures a bunch of options to avoid doing that configuration. So that's a step forward that helps to reduce it. But we don't really talk about it, even in the documentation. Some way in the wiki pages we recommend, but it's not really something that people follow. And then you can look at the global configuration. So we have 300 something options in the global configuration. Permutations of those options create endless amount of configurations that people seem to be keen into testing and breaking just because they can. And just because we are bad at actually showing a right path for those. And also for the file share configuration, which is all applies to the, to all those roles, we have more than 100 options as well. And some of them are simple, like description for the share, our home path and so on. But some of them are pretty obscure. And if you search for the options like what socket options to set, the internet will tell you set this and that, and that's actually incorrect because we are pretty good with the defaults, and whatever you configure most likely will be wrong and reduce your performance if you're after performance. But aside from SMB.com, we have a bunch of other things. Samba is really glorified multi-database software. It's nothing more than that, plus weird semantics about it. So we have identity information backends in PassDB and identity mapping stuff in Winbind. We have secrets database that contains all kinds of secrets that Samba considers secret. We have account policies. We have identity to POSIX group mapping, which is separate from identity mapping. We have browsing for the NetBIOS stuff that mostly goes away in if you're using Active Directory environments, but still there for home users or small environments. And then we have key tabs. Rotating those key tabs is not always an easy thing, and there's some subtlety of what you could do and how you could do. We have a number of utilities that are used to configure all this stuff or query parts of it or just plain ruin them, which is probably something that every single Samba administrator enjoyed in their life. And we have an instant messaging tool that talks to daemons and actually being able to get some reciprocity out of them. So roles are different, but they have slightly different also in the initial configuration. So for example, for the domain member, we first have to create smbconf that would be used by net utility, and we have to create Kerberos configuration so that it actually can find a KDC and then do the join. For the ADDC setup, we actually have to remove smbconf because our tool insists on that. It thinks that if somebody configured smb.conf, it's futile to try to merge changes. So we have to remove the smb.conf, run the tool, then copy generated pieces of Kerberos configuration. And that still needs a lot of other work, like configuring your NS switch and PAM stack and choosing which software to use because there's so many options. And what's weird is that we don't have any machine readable definition of that configuration differences. So there's a wiki page, there's supposedly documentation somewhere. it's unparsable even to humans. As you, if you look into the what people ask on the lists or IRC, you can see that we fail spectacularly in reporting that. It's a typical confusion from IRC. Just a few days ago, the guy was looking how to mount things in Linux, just a simple mount. And he found that if he tries to use sifs.ko directly, it fails. But if he tries to do SMB client connection to the server first and then as the actual file system mount, it sort of works. And this is not what we intend. This is not what we say anywhere. It is clearly a sign of misconfigured environment just beyond that machine. But debugging this as a newcomer, it's impossible to do. So there should be a better way to do something like this. So on the operating system level, we also have a bunch of integration requirements that pretty much depend on which operating system you are, because some of them are using tools that allow you to pre-configure certain settings, and those tools are different between different flavors of even Linux. I'm not saying about any others, because there's like a whole world is, you know, celebrating diversity in the system level configuration. So even basic use cases require us to go outside of Samba own configuration. We have to deal with predefined scenarios. That would be easier also for people who are newcomers and for the admins, for the reasons I state later. So for example, for the domain member, we have to configure WinBind, we have to create system level and a switch configuration, we have to configure PAM, right? And we might have file server configuration of that domain member. But someone can say that it's not our problem, right? Well, it is that we cannot replace all the other teams that are doing their job on the system distribution level. We hope that they scale better than we are, but the reality we all know, we are not scalable. All of us are not scalable enough to tackle these problems alone. And at least with the help of our software, they might be scalable, but not really. It's someone else's fault. We are in a position to provide some tools, but we need to look at who are the ones who will be using those tools. Now, first, if you look into user lists. And I have some sort of chance to look into what Red Hat Enterprise Linux support queues look like and what people are asking there. Now, we see a wide spectrum of deployments and a wide spectrum of like self-assuredness of people who try to configure software. So we are dealing with people who just barely know what they do with Linux or even POSIX overall, and they want to be guided through the GUI or other tools. We see people who are overly confident on what they change on the system, and they sometimes take a hard position on disagreeing with the distribution people who created distribution and made certain choices there, and they've opened Bugzillas and spend time explaining to us that we are all at fault and with those decisions. But we also increasingly see both categories of people face it with the tasks that they need to automate multiple deployments with about the same stuff. The cloud is real, and it's touching those people's lives every day. So we see those extremes. We see that there are people who have grown up in this century, and there are migrations happening from environments where a completely different paradigm was used before. People are changing their choices of operating systems. And the most important part is that most of the cloud deployments, they are scripted. And if something goes wrong there, it's a spectacular failure, but there's no anyone who can actually look at it. There are blind sockets, nothing else. So millennials actually come nowadays with early access to the mobile software, and Android and iOS, they sort of prepared a complete different approach to serve problems using computers. So a computer like your phone is basically more powerful than the desktop that you might have 25 years ago when Samba started. And the administration experience expectations for those systems are completely different. And in many cases, they have no clue what's inside. But it's heavily and readily usable. And we still have trouble of explaining how to configure our own pieces. So everybody can be a DevOps, which means basically a sysadmin for people without real sysadmin experience. And when we see Windows shops migrating to Linux, we also see that those admins have a quite different expectation set and experience how they expect the management software behave. Some never seen POSIX environment before, and if you put them into a crash course, they get overwhelmed with the low-level details, and I don't see how these relate to each other. So what happens is that this really has a direct kind of influence on the support cost, because you see calls support cases open for every single small detail. The people don't read documentation, like they don't know that there are man pages. Simply they don't realize that you can do man and command name and get some output and then navigate through it. Navigation even doesn't really work well. You cannot click, even if it's a link that looks like a link in the browser. And they ask what others consider silly questions, in quotes, of course, because those questions, they actually underline that there's uncertainty in what we have. And it's not clear how to explain certain things. There's, I think on Reddit, there's this very popular subreddit for explain like I'm 5 years old. And we definitely see that for all the stuff we operate with, it certainly could have helped if we had something like that. There was a hope at some time that all these management consoles concept can really help with reducing the gap. So SWOT was one of the management consoles for Samba, but it was quite low level because you operated on the single entries in smb.conf. Many network attached storages vendors, they have their own UIs. Typically nowadays it's just a browser navigated page that does a lot of stuff. So they automate some of these use cases, but they choose somehow to follow simple cases, like not setting up Active Directory Domain Controller, because who needs Active Directory Domain Controller on a NAS? They probably need to integrate with existing one or do something else. So there are some cases are there, and they don't focus on the complex scenarios. Windows Server, on the other side, it has had a couple of iterations over the management software, these snap-ins, then a nice interface in 2012 and going forward. Then the current state is this Project Honolulu, which is literally what on the open source side we do with Cockpit. So it's a sort of a console that allows you to integrate some HTML and JavaScript pieces together that call out into the actual console or shell to call other utilities and use them to configure the system, but presents it a nice way. But it's a bit more on that later. So what we have also, those cloud deployments and related stuff, those robots, they do not have eyes. They have blind sockets that needs to be kind of fed with the right signals, with the right length of the electromagnetic emanations and so on. So they get programmed by people, and this is actually a better thing of them, because they are actually clever than the most newbies, because they were programmed by people who actually knew something of it. But they like predictable input, and they crash reliably on unpredictable one. Crash meaning that they do not perform as they expected, not just that they might get SAC fault or something. But they also like predictable output. So that predictable output from what they produce or what they want to use is the important part. So there's a lot of activity on or attempts to provide sort of a tagged content with the details that can easily be parsed. And if we look at what we do in Samba, so let's say we run test parm without any switches that disable interactivity. We stop at the point, please enter to see a dump of your configuration, and the cursor will be blinking to you if your cursor is blinking, and your robot or whatever application is using this input as an input will never continue because it's not there. Or if you run Samba tool user get password and ask for certain attributes in the default installation, you wouldn't get any password out. There's something missing. And how you deal with the attributes that are missing in non-interactive environment? That's sort of questions that you as a robot writer needs to answer, but you need to be you need to have your answer based on something that whoever wrote this tool have to provide an option to recover from that kind of thing. So if we look at the management consoles, they actually automate some tasks, some of them. They do basic configuration, and that looks for a user of the management console as a sort of atomic operation, because until it completes, you're typically not allow it to transition and use the service. And the more important part is that if this configuration that happened because you initiated it, the configuration can be explored. So you can actually get to know what was generated, why it was generated, and what options are there. But sometimes it breaks when if you change this in the backend and create some unexpected stuff. And the management console needs automated input and output because it really wants to translate between two worlds. So if we look at the Samba tool and net, these are heavy workers, R2-D2 type of robots. We can speak to them and they can answer us, but most people prefer talking to C3PO because that robot knows a lot of languages and can translate between them. Sometimes wrongly, but that's the robot. That's how he was programmed. So we want to have some sort of magic. So it's perfect setup for the magic. And with this one, let me move to a magic. Let me move to a magic. So this is a cockpit on Fedora 28, running in some VM here. It's the generic management console that has some sort of a visualization for typical resources. Let me see if I can get it bigger. Is it readable now? So you can see CPU use, memory use, disk use, all these kind of traditional things. You can actually, if there would be a software installed that it expects to be installed, you could join some domain, but I don't have RealmD installed. Or you can have fingerprints for the secure shell, host keys, you can change the names and so on. You can look into the logs, which are ugly because I ran some software and it broke. You can even create accounts or so. I'll see systemd output for the services. And you can actually have a terminal access here, which is handy because you just have a browser and inside it you have a full working shell. But on the other side, if it allows to integrate other things. So I have a prototype that sort of integrates Samba AD. And this prototype is basically looking if Samba AD is set up on this machine. If it's not, it proposes certain kind of configuration choices. They are extremely high level. So we basically say that the main control needs to be installed or set up before it could be used. So we can run initial Samba AD setup, or we can do a member server, join something else, or we can just do as a client which doesn't have SMBD running there, but just has, for example, SSSD and not WinBind configuration or whatever. Well, in fact, I only have Samba AD in this prototype. So we are about to create a domain controller, and that one is fairly simple one. So let's call it this way and provide some to be admin credentials. And because this is a prototype, I'm not showing any progress here, but behind the scenes, let me see if I can see. There's something happening. It's a DNS update actually failing because the DNS entries for this domain already exist because I re-enrolled it multiple times. But after some time, you get fully working domain controller and some details fetched from it. And if we look into the terminal, we actually can see it. Okay. Well, this is the same, the very same machine that I just never had anything. We have one, well, not one, two clicks and a couple input boxes. I have all this installed. So this is a prototype, right? It deploys somebody, the main controller shows its state. Behind the web interface, it just runs Samba tool domain provision, copies configuration, starts Samba, and takes the ensures that we have some details to show. The cockpit app, the one that we see here, it is just a static HTML with some JavaScript. Cockpit exports you JavaScript API. This page is actually part of this whole cockpit page, so it runs within the cockpit things. And you can, using the credentials of this user that you logged in, you can run any operations. They are exactly what you do in the console. So any utility you call in the console can be called with these privileges. If it's not a root, but it's able to do sudo, fine. Cockpit will use sudo to run those operations. And effectively, you could do this to a remote cockpit server from your cockpit server, so you can have a dashboard of multiple servers, which is nice if you want to have like all your domain controllers in a single view and see the difference there or configure them. The thing is that I need to parse output, which is in Samba tool is kind of supposed to be read by people. And in most cases, well, parsing low-level utility output is easy because you grep for certain things, but it would be better if we wouldn't need to grep, but we have something that we could reinterpret in a machine-readable and machine-writable in. Management console, as I said, needs to reinterpret it in a context and show a different view than what it got from the utilities, because otherwise, what's the value? And some level of this tagged and easy to parse response would be nice. The tagged means, no, not XML. Thank you. And it seems that in past like a decade, there's pretty much common ground understanding across multiple industries that this JSON thing, which started with a JavaScript object notation, but it really is just a plain text format structured in a certain way. It's good enough for transformation. We do audit already in recent Samba versions with the JSON output.
Yeah, the JSON thing, I totally agree with you on that. So that's extending. So we've landed in changes to DRS show REPL, so that's now also outputting
JSON.
Yeah,
you will see a bit of it bit later. But what I, on the next slide.
Okay,
this
good.
Is not your DRS show REPL that you know. These are not the droids you know and Surge. This is the --JSON is my work in progress into converting the whole Samba tool into yes yeah I merged it with that one already. But the idea is that you provide something that depending on this switch the utility output completely changes into machine readable, but inside you don't need to care about it. You just use methods that produce an output. The output is collected. It produces some formatting that you expect. I intentionally keep the same formatting as it was before. And you can see it in the info here. It actually the formatting that you get as a human output. But you also get the actual data that was used to produce this formatting. So that you can actually, if you know what you're looking for, you can directly address that one.
Excuse me?
I keep this human readable output because the tool that processes it might need it to show to the user. There might be a need. Because this is easy to produce, there's no problem with doing that. But then there's a predictable input to tools. So we often require interactive input like passwords, and there's no way to get around it by supplying it in a certain files or so. So typical situation is that you do echo and it's ugly and it's visible in the PS output if somebody wants to see that. So sometimes it would probably be better to pre-supply a template like a JSON with bunch of options and use that as an input instead of requiring it from different sources.
But isn't that a bug in Samba tool? That you actually have to supply it with echo instead of the command line switch that is also existing?
Yeah. It is not. It's not possible to do that, but it would be good if you have a definition of what you want to do with the utility, and all these container runtimes, they show that it's extremely flexible and usable, that you have a definition of what you want to do with, for example, container, what services you want to have there, some topology stuff and so on. Same can be applied for the tools. Note that this does not require killing the existing interface. It's an addition to that, because we are pretty flexible inside the tool to parse or merge these settings.
Yeah, I agree on that, but in the first place, there should be command line options for everything that is prompted, and they should work.
Yeah, there are command options, but not to specify passwords, because specifying passwords on the command line is insecure. So if input can be serialized, then a sequence of calls to those tools can be serialized. And there we come to the point of configuration management tools, that they have this concept already. So for example, Ansible has this tasks thing, and the other tools, they have also split on small steps, but they all critically depend on being able to recognize your current state, so that the steps that are already done, they don't need to be repeated. And we are pretty bad at providing this reliably parsable state. So, and practically, if you do these Ansible roles and all the other tools like Puppet and so, you have to have someone to document this sequence as a code effectively. So some way to document this is needed. So just in this example, recently, other group at Red Hat, they started looking into how to get the self-documenting interfaces working over the sockets, Unix domain sockets, so command line could be done. There's project called Whirling, whirling.org, and there's Linux Weekly News article about it, and it basically has a JSON input that can be used and a method call definition that can be used to tie things together. And imagine that we could have something like Samba tool domain provision that can be reachable via this Whirling interface with just a definition like this. Yeah, it's not a rocket science at all. We can do this for all our tools in addition to...
So you put that out of the command line runtime?
Yeah. Well, you can use both. Yeah.
For automation, you prefer the JSON. So you would have Samba tool domain provision -s JSON, and the location of the JSON file, or the on standard input? Or
yes. You can reuse all that where you can. The other possibilities that come out of it, if you accept this, you can also accept this to generate something more interesting, like you got these parameters, you got multiple calls like that, you can transform them into Ansible role and generate the Ansible role or Puppet scripts, all this automatically, so people can actually learn and reuse that later while driving this from a pretty high level starting point like this.
But how do you generate the JSON within the Ansible role?
Oh, you don't generate JSON with Ansible call. You generate Ansible tasks and role templates based on the JSON definition of the sequences that you have there. Right now, you have to write this based on the lousy documentation that we have.
No, but in an example, how would the Ansible role change with the Varlik interface?
That's open. That's what I'm saying. It's a discussion how we could do this. It needs to be written somehow. And writing an Ansible module that actually does checks using these interfaces would be trivial. Yeah.
So it's not a command line executable and IP JSON. It's not like that.
Yeah. These are, instruments or tools that robots and people can use together to live happily ever after. So Samba is used by people and robots increasingly consume Samba artifacts, mostly around configuration and logs. Logs are a very big, important part of it, and parsing logs is a very big and important thing. A human-oriented output, parsing it, is a waste of everyone's effort. So we can do better, and for robots and humans, when with little magic, we can help both. That's where I am now. I have a little magic there that shows that it's indeed possible. This is something like I made in a couple days, and it can be extended. And that's all. And one thing I may want to show. Okay, I don't have it here, but the cockpit guys, they added also a mechanism to discover apps like this. If it's packaged somewhere in your package repository for your distribution, then here you would see installable kind of services, and there will be a list that says, here is the tool to install Samba AD. And that will pull all the needed dependencies and packages so people can do discovery from like a point zero. That works for other tools, like with the Fleet Commander administration tool that exists in Fedora. They actually can install a Fleet Commander interface to the cockpit, and that one installs LibVirt, installs FreeIPA, installs a bunch of other stuff automatically behind the scenes, and then allows you to configure the desktops of your GNOME users afterwards. So that is the direction I'm looking into. The worth thing to note is that it's not supposed to break what exists. So we can trivially add this machine-readable thing to existing utilities without breaking existing kind of contract on the options and interfaces. But I think going this step by step will allow us to go long road on being more friendly and improve our user experience, whoever user is that. Okay, let me get back here, and I'm done. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. We have 2 minutes left for questions and to switch the setup for the next talk. Any more questions?
Okay.
I guess that's a no.
Yep.